Okay, so today we're going to finish up our series on forgotten virtues. And we're going to talk about gratitude. This is probably one of the most lacked virtue, I feel, that we have. But the mindset that I want to place on you today is, I want it now. Okay? Has anybody ever realized that? That's what millennials are all about, right? This I want it now motto. And as the generations get, you know, they keep going naturally. It just keeps getting worse. During the pandemic, they started giving away free money. That's what I hear a lot of, free money. That's what they said stimulus was free money. Well, they just don't understand that they're going to be paying it back pretty quick. They just don't understand that. They think it's just free, they're giving it to them. Okay, but it's okay because they get what they want and it's over. You know, they think it's done. So today we're going to talk about that I want it now. I want it now, now, now. Okay, but gratitude is something that we have forgotten. You know, I was in a restaurant the other day. It was a fast food restaurant. I'm not going to name names. But for the first time in forever, I had an actual meeting at the fast food place. I never do that. I don't like to sit inside of fast food restaurants. I think it's weird. Just the way I am, fast food, I'm getting it and I'm going home. Or I'm going to continue to work. But I'm sitting there at the restaurant and I order my food and I go sit down. And I'm waiting for my name to be called. And about 3 minutes later, I'm thinking, it should be done, right? I mean, it's fast food. It should be fast. You know? And 5 minutes went by, and then 10 minutes went by, and I went back up there, and I said, hey, you guys didn't forget me, did you? You know, I said, you didn't forget who I was, and I ordered. And they're like, no, I'm sorry, sir, we're shorthanded. Well, that's pretty common these days, right? Nobody can hire anybody. Nobody wants a job. I'm like, okay. You know, that was this week, and I got thinking in my head as I'm doing that I'm writing this sermon about gratitude. And I thought, I pretty much had it wrote on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then I had to put this in there because it was kind of funny. You know, have you ever thought about it? We take that for such granted, even at a fast food restaurant. They're actually back there cooking your food. Whose wife or you, whoever cooks in your house, who can make a cheeseburger French fries in 5 minutes at home? Nobody. Because it takes time, right? But we expect them to get it done like that and then bring it to you. Not only they got to make the cheeseburger, they got to wrap the cheeseburger, they got to put the fries in, they got to put it in a bag, they got to check the order, they got to get your soda. That we expect them to do it like it should be ready to go before we order it, like they're supposed to read our mind, right? That is the aspect of it, though. We don't realize that we are the want it now people, but deep down we kind of are. In that aspect. You know, you can see the same kind of attitude in the story called The Prodigal Son. Okay? In Luke 15, 11 and 12, it says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share to the estate. I'm going to stop right there. Okay? We're going to just go that right there right now. Give me my share to the estate. Traditionally, you receive your inheritance when somebody passes away. That is how it goes. But he was so greedy and wanted it right now. I don't know, maybe he wanted just to live. He wanted to do his own thing, right? But he don't care what the rules are. He doesn't care he wanted everything now. You know, as I was growing up, I wanted, you know, before when me and Emily first got married, I wanted a house, a boat. I wanted all this stuff. I still want a boat. So if anybody's giving away a really nice boat, let me know. But I don't need it anytime quick. I don't want it now. I'll want it later too. But, you know, I want all that stuff. It's not needed. I don't need a boat. You know, I joke around about buying a new boat. I want a new boat. But I have no time to go on a boat. So it would be a big waste of money because I wouldn't go on it. But it'd be in my driveway, and it'd be really cool to have a nice boat, wouldn't it? You know, But that's how it is. We want it. We go get it. And then we don't use it. And then we wasted everything. You know, it's kind of like your relationship with God. You want it. You get it. And then you don't use it. You want it, you get it, and then you don't use it. You know, the Father, for whatsoever reason, he gives it to his Son. If you know the story, the Bible says that he went out and he squandered it all. He wasted it. He blew it all. He threw big parties. He was living the wild life. He accumulated all this stuff. He was the ungrateful son. He totally wasted it away the entire time. Not only do we want it now, but the second topic of gratitude that I want to talk about is I deserve more. I deserve more. There was an older brother, and if you know the story, the younger brother goes off, blows all of his inheritance, and then one day he wakes up and he goes, oh, that was stupid. That is bad. Now, I don't have anything. Even the servants at his dad's house, they have more than I do. So when he comes back, his father, who was a picture of the Heavenly Father, is waiting on the edge of the town going, thank God, my son is back. He throws him a big party. He gives him robes, rings, and he kills a calf and says, everyone's getting a steak for dinner. Right? And the big brother thought he was starting to have a pity party for himself. He's outside going, wait a minute, I've never broke the rules. Nobody did that for me. I deserve that, not him. Correct? In Luke 15:29, it says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Someone owes me. Right? Someone owes me. I deserve better than this. I deserve more. You know, here's what we see so often. I deserve a better paying job. If I can't get a better paying job, I'm just going to quit. It's funny, but it's the truth. People actually say that. If I can't get paid more money, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go and I'm going to demand a raise, and if they don't give it to me, I'm walking out of here. What does that solve? Now you're just broke with no unemployment. Right? But it's happening before our very eyes. Everywhere. I was working in Indianapolis. If you guys don't know, I go to Indianapolis. I go north. I go St. Joe, Michigan. Every other week, I'm out of town on about a 12 to 14 hour day. I was just passing through Brownsburg one night about 6 o'clock, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to run by and get me something to eat. And I really wanted Wendy's chili because I can eat it, like drink it while I'm driving, and I don't have to eat, you know. It's quicker. Okay. Well, I went to Wendy's and they were closed. 6 o'clock at night on a Monday night, they were closed. And it said on the sign, can't find workers, closed on Monday. I'm like, wow. You know, a big chain like that is closed. It's not just small businesses. It's big, huge, multi-million dollar chains that can't get people to work there. Because we deserve more, right? When you go into an interview, they ask you, hey, let me see your job history. You give them your job history. They're going to ask you, well, what did you do for 2 years? Oh, well, I deserve more. I'm holding out for a management position that you weren't qualified for. But yet they feel like they deserve more. You know, let's do this. Let's take a moment and let's sit back and let's see what God would say to us about all of our ungratefulness in our hearts. Where we ask, what do I want and when do I want it? What am I going to do about this? We're going to break this down into a few sections here. The first one is let's ask God to expose any material or financial ungratefulness in our lives. Let's ask God to expose the material and financial ungratefulness in our lives. You know, it's funny because I went from making good money to making really bad money to making pretty good money. And when I'm down low, we never go hungry. I mean, who's here has hit the bottom of the barrel in the payroll department and not had any money? Did you die? No. Did you eat? Yeah, but it was a struggle, right? It's the way it was. You know, my grandma lived through the Depression, and she told me, she's like, I never got so sick of potatoes in my life. I'm like, I get that. You know, I understand. When I was growing up, we had skillet supper. Anybody ever had skillet supper? Yeah. It was like ground beef with cabbage. Ooh, yummy. You know? My mom thought it'd be good to melt some cheese on top of it, so, you know, you got that little sprinkle of cheese, you know, because we couldn't waste the whole bag on a thing of cheese. We just sprinkle a little bit on there, it's good. You know? But we ate it all the time, that and spaghetti. Ugh. I still can't manage to eat spaghetti. I just can't. My wife and my kids will go to Fazoli's and order spaghetti. I'm like, why are you ordering spaghetti? You can make that at home. But they like their spaghetti. I'm like, how can you eat that? I can't eat it. Because back then, we didn't have a lot of money. Well, after I left home, naturally, as things move on and the years come up, you know, my sister gets all this stuff that I didn't get, you know, because my mom went back to work. So things change. But when you hit that bottom of the barrel, you get to the point to where you don't have anything and you got to figure it out. But you work through the pain, just like we work through things in our life. You know, it's funny because the people that I'm worried about and the people that I really am scared for are these girls. The kids in high school. That's what's frustrating. Because the millennials and the other people are wanting now that they're going to have to pay for. You know, the materials and the financial is what gets us in debt, gets us in trouble. And you know, it's the same kind of thing. Number two is relational ungratefulness. You know, it's in the prodigal son where the kids were wanting more, and then they came back and they were ungrateful for what their dad did. They're ungrateful, like, why did you do that to us? Well, it wasn't his decision to do that. You asked for it. He just gave you what you asked for. You know, God does that. You ask for something, and it ain't nearly what you want. You know, Emily still makes fun of me because I would pray, because I'm a very impatient person. I'm very impatient. And I would always pray for patience. And Emily said, that's why I got Avery. I don't pray for patience anymore. Because that kid will put you through it. He makes you have patience, because if not, I obviously have learned patience because he's not dead yet. So that's a goal. Like, if he made it that day, I won, you know. But that's what he does. He don't answer your prayers the way you want it. He's not a vending machine. He doesn't just sit there and wait, okay, what does Dusty want today? That's not what he does. He answers it in the way to make your life more efficient for the kingdom of God. You know, number three is decide to turn blessings into praise. You know, we are going to make a decision, and every blessing that God gives us, we have two options. One, we can either be grateful for it or we cannot. We can be ungrateful for it. You know, ungratefulness is something that is just common in the world and we don't even know we're doing it. It's just how it is. But if you lived your life with gratefulness, what would you be ungrateful for? Because you're grateful for everything. Every blessing you pour out will turn back to praise, but every blessing I don't turn back to praise turns into pride. I want that car because it makes me look important. I have to drive a new car because my friends think that's cool. I mean, we do it all the time. We do it in church. We do it in church. Well, we got to have new this. We got to have the updated this. We got to make sure we're doing it this way. But we're not grateful for the things that we've done and the people that are doing it. The time spent by everyone. You know, this church isn't just ran by the lead pastor and three or four elders. It takes a group of people to run a church. It doesn't matter what church you go to. One person can't run it. Two people can't run it. Three people can't run it. It takes the collective group of people to do it. You know, gratefulness is something that is so rare that when it happens, you're like, what was that? In that restaurant or fast food joint, I don't know, restaurant, fast food joint, same thing. That woman brought me my food in a bag when it was over. It was about 15 to 10 minutes. It was long for a fast food joint. They brought it to me. She's like, I'm so sorry, sir. I really appreciate you being so kind and being patient. And I said, no problem. Whatever. It works. I mean, I don't care. I'm sitting there waiting for this guy to come. I didn't care what time my food got there. But how many people would have overreacted in that situation? Three. I seen it. Three people got up, asked for a refund, and left. Because our life is so busy that we can't just sit down for 10 minutes. You know, Philippians 4:11-13, it says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. The most common read Bible verse in the Bible today is, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Nobody reads that first part, though, does it? They want to have the strength. They know it comes from Him. But they don't want to be content with every circumstance. They don't want to sit there and say, hey, I know what it is to need and not to need and to have plenty. They don't want to be content in every situation. They don't want to not have something to complain about. Complaining is complaining. Complaining, it's like a dollar, a dime a dozen. I get them every day. It's like life. Complaints are like an everyday event. It just is what it is. But eventually it tears you down to where it really bugs you. Okay? Like, ungratefulness is crazy. And it needs to stop. Because God did not make us to be ungrateful people. We are to show gratitude. Do you show ungratefulness to Christ? No. We're supposed to act like Christ, right? So did Christ show ungratefulness to everybody? No. Then why are we? You know, He says that whatever the circumstances, if I'm not healthy, if I am, if I've got a lot of money, if I don't, if I like my job, if I don't, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like not to have enough. I'm not saying I lived a horrible life. I'm not saying that when me and Emily got married, we were poor as broke. But I'll tell you, when I lived in Farmer City, I made $24,000. And I had two kids. I have absolutely no idea how I made it. And I had three teenage girls coming over for dinner all the time. Because my wife thought she had to do with her hair every night. You know, how'd I make it? I don't know. But, you know, it had happened. I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to have nothing. Some of us have had nothing, nothing. And I will never know that. But I'm grateful that I don't have to know how that is. You know, let me tell you, you want to talk about what we deserve. Well, I deserve more. I deserve this. Scripture says that we are all sinners. That all of us are sinners. We are so unholy that in the eyes of God that you know what we deserve? We deserve eternal punishment. That is what we deserve. You know, to know something worth is to know the honor that God gives you. What do you deserve? Because of the grace of God, he has sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. Anyone who calls his name are the ones that are following him. We are the representative of Christ. We should be holding our gratitude higher than everyone else, correct? So as we end today, let's remember that. Let's go out of these doors today and remember everything we do outside these doors is what Christ would want us to do. It's hard. I know it is. It's a struggle. You know, we ain't perfect. We ain't Jesus. We ain't going to get it all right. You're going to step out there and go, ooh, that was wrong. That's okay. It's not. We're not perfect. It's going to happen. But we got to strive to do something, right? Sitting here not doing anything ain't going to solve nothing. We have to strive to show gratefulness. Strive to not show ungratefulness. Strive to be more grateful for everything and don't have the I want it now culture. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We come to you with love. Lord, we know that, I know that I'm hard on gratefulness. I know that I want everything now. And that's just not the way it needs to be. Lord, I know that you supply everything that I need, and that's sometimes hard to sink in. Lord, I know that you know what I need, but I'm not willing to accept only that. I want to be more like you, and I want to feel that. I want to know what love is and gratefulness. I want to show you gratefulness. I want to show you that I'm thankful for everything you put me through, thankful for all the struggles, for the good times, the bad times, the healthy, the non-healthy. Lord, it is hard to do that, but we thank you. We thank you for it. We thank you for everything you put us through, the trials, the tribulations, the good times, everything. Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.